Father, we bless you. We thank you, Father, for this day, for this night, for your word, for your love, for your mercy and your grace. We will be a church that worships you, Jesus. We will be a church that worships you every Wednesday and every Sunday. We'll worship you right along with our worship team, Father. They all come back Sunday. We will support them. We'll lift up our voice and we'll bless God with them, Lord, till your glory comes down in this small little church, Father. And when they come down here, it's going to go out there, Father. We're going to bring them all in to the glory of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be seated. Hallelujah. Glory. That soul music got me fired up, Ralph. Yes, you're right. That's a profound, awesome statement, Ralph. You're so right. You're so right. Yeah, that's what Terry told me last week. Absolutely, Ralph, absolutely. Glory. Sir? Not anymore, buddy. Not anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be here. I have some brand new stuff on John 13. I hope I'm able to get to it, man. Because it is so good. Oh, my God. It is so, so good. But I don't know. I'm going to finish articulating a thought that I didn't articulate well Sunday. Not that I didn't articulate it well. I didn't finish what I wanted to say. I allowed myself to move on to something else. And I want to, you'll see that I preach a lot about the power of being what? Born again. I preach that with a passion. With a passion, I preach it, so does Pastor Bronk. And there's so much power when you're born again. But like Barry said the other day, what Pastor Bronk's been saying for years, through Christ in us, we're able to say no to sin, to any sin, to fornication, to drugs, to adultery. We're born of God, Ralph. We don't do them things. We don't have to retaliate and gossip and drink or smoke or because we're born again. Amen. Our conscience has changed. We didn't change our own conscience, but he purged our conscience and made it perfect and pure. He changed us. So if he changed my conscience and I preach God's word in love, and he changed my conscience, and I prepare God's word to present it to you in love. He changed my conscience. I preach his word that he put in me. If I preach it in love, and if the world hates me, then they really don't hate me if he changed my conscience. If he changed my conscience and put his word in me, and I preach it in love, who do they really hate? Him, the Father. Are you with me? Miss Sosa, which is Maya's mom, said something hit me like square between the eyes. And it's a simple statement that I've repeated for years. And pastors taught it for years. And she said, I don't know all the Bible, but I believe it. I guess she's saying, I believe it as far as I know it. I believe it. He said, but when it's preached, it's got to be preached in love. And that is a big amen. A big amen. And she said that to me 6-7 months ago, and it hit the spot. And it hit the spot. So you hear me. I hope I can articulate this quick and well, and so I can grasp what I'm trying to get it. Because I really want to teach John 13. I really do. I'm so excited about it. But if not, then I just won't. But you hear me always say about the power of regeneration, about the power of Christ in you. Sin shall have no dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. Under law, they were all spiritually dead. Under grace, we received the perpetual life of God, and we've been made righteous internally. Amen? That's simplistic, simple. So I'm always saying that. I always revert back that. You know why? I said something Sunday, but I didn't finish articulating it. Now I'm going to finish so you'll know where I was going with it. I mentioned to you, now God bless my dad. My dad got born again before he died. I know he did. He's passed away and he's with Jesus now. My dad gave me a hard time at first when I gave my life to Jesus. But when, before he died, he said, son, I'm proud of you, son. But growing up, in my 20s, he was an unregenerate dad. He didn't know how to love me. At that early age, my dad would, if I wanted, would get me prostitutes. At 18, 19, 20 years old, I could have. My dad had me an account at a drive-thru, David's drive-thru. I could get drunk every single day at his expense. I could drink salty. They knew me already. I would go through there and get a salty dog. Vodka with grapefruit juice every day. As much, for years, I'd get drunk every night, drink or whatever, get it, charge it at Homer's dad's account. I had stacks of Playboy books in a back room since 8 years old. You can see where I'm going with this. 8 years old, boxes of pornography. This is my point. I had it stacked up. It was stacked up against me, man. So it seemed. You with me? I said to myself, how am I going to overcome this? But you know what? I did. I had it stacked up against me. My dad used to take us to the Bahamas. Me and my friends, take us, pay for us to drink. Whatever we wanted to do, we could do it. I'll leave it there. 2 and 2 equals 4. I had all this stacked against me in my soul. Even when I got born again, this junk was lingering in my flesh. And I sat the other day at my house, I was just praising God, and I began to weep, Ralph. I said, my God, all this stuff that was stacked against me, all this stuff that I could have held as an excuse not to make it, the fact that I gave my life to Jesus, this is how powerful Christ is in you. All that junk couldn't hold me from progressing forward with my Lord and Savior. That's why I preach the power of the born-again spirit with a passion. I know what I have overcome, and if I overcame it, you can too. Regardless of what it is, you can too. No matter how strong those appetites were, I overcame them. I carried an orange Bible with me everywhere I went. I read that Bible. I fed that spirit of mine. So there's a passion in me about the power of being born again. Lord, forgive me. When I see wimpy Christians, I want to choke them. I just want to get them and choke them. Don't tell me you can't. You can. Your want to has changed inside of you. Your want to has changed. See, Christ in you tells you what's right and what's wrong. Christ in you is not robotic. He can't put it off for you. He can tell you not to do it, but he ain't going to put it off for you. That's up to me and you. That's love. We hearken unto his voice. That is love. This church, the reason we have a powerful doctrine, but very few people, is because this church teaches people how to be a G1210. A doulos. I'm not content, Miss Barbara, being a regular Christian. I will not be a regular social Christian. That's why this church is empty, because we're taught how to be a doulos. Doulos is a Greek word for the word bondservant or the word servant. It's G1210, a voluntary slave to his will. I'm not content being a good little Christian. A doulos, a servant of God, does not live a social life, nor do they want to live a social life. A doulos, not a Christian, a doulos, one that takes it to the extreme because he realizes what his Savior did for him. a doulos, a servant, one that has surrendered his will to God voluntarily. Lord, I'm subject unto your will. What Homer wants is irrelevant to me. What you want, Lord, is what I want to be 120% subject to, Lord. That's why this church is small right now. Because a doulos, and I'm talking to myself, a doulos, a G1210, a voluntary servant to do, I volunteer, Lord, the grace, give me the grace, Lord, to yield more to you every single day of my life. I want to be a G1210, magnify that image inside of me, Jesus, how to be a doulos to the day that I die. A doulos is not a social drinker. A doulos does not socially drink. A doulos doesn't choose where he lives. A doulos doesn't eat what he wants to, because he's a doulos, a slave to God to finish his will. I'm learning that. A doulos takes care of his body because he wants to live a long life to please his master. That's what a doulos is. You can be a Christian. You can be content with that. You're going to heaven. Praise God. But I want to make a difference in this world. And I can't do it by just being a Christian. I want to be a doulos, a G1210. Well, I voluntarily sign up for this. Lord, I want your will to be so magnified in me, Jesus. I want all that my, every narrative in my mind that tries to oppose your word, Father, I want to crucify it. I want your word, your will to be enlarged in my heart, Lord. I want to finish strong, Lord Jesus. Give me the grace, Father, the grace to eat better. Give me the grace, Lord, to exercise, Father, to finish my course, to bring you an absolute glory. That is a doulos. And a doulos is not just content with saying no to sin. You can do that as a Christian. Don't get me wrong, a doulos is a Christian. But a doulos to me is one step up on just being a regular believer. A doulos wants it all surrendered to Jesus. A doulos, a servant, a G1210. Is not just happy with saying no to sin. A doulos wants that ugly feeling inside of him to be gone. Are you with me? It's easy to say no through rebirth, through default. I want to deal with the feeling inside of me that wants to respond back. That's what we're after. That's what a doulos is after. That's where the praying and fasting comes in. We're after the ugly feeling. Yes, we're powerful to the non-response. Yes, that's easy. Don't respond, don't say, don't do, don't fornicate, don't get drunk, don't do these things. Yes, we can do that per default, but I want the part in me that still wants it inside of me. That's what I'm after. That's mortification, man. That is what a doulos is. And I don't care who gets mad at me, and I haven't said much. People want to debate with me, sir. Listen to me. And yeah, I'm going to boast. I'll debate you on your subject. I just don't debate you on certain things. I can hold my own against anybody in any debate, but I won't. Because when you start debating to prove how much you know, you've lost the debate. When I hear a person who wants to debate, lets me know that if they're so sure about what they think they know, they wouldn't argue it. So they're really not sure. You with me? We have to understand. And I want it so bad, Ralph. I want it so bad. I want all my will to eradicate. I want his will inside of me so magnified. I've been going to the scriptures lately, man, and you can just feel that. I can just feel them wash over me. I can just feel them, Ralph, affecting my being. I just begin to weep as I feel the scriptures just cleansing my mind. I've never had a week of revelation like I had this last month. It's just pouring out, pouring out where I can just feel it flooding me. But you know what? The revelation is not enough for me. I want to apply that revelation. I want to be a doulos, a G1210. One that voluntarily surrenders my will to him. Lord, I want to be subject to you in everything that I do. Are you with me? Are you in agreement with me? Is that what you want? Hallelujah. A doulos is not a social drinker. A doulos takes care of his body. A doulos doesn't do drugs. A doulos doesn't choose where he lives. A doulos lives where the Father would have him live. A doulos doesn't just buy anything he wants. A doulos does what his Father wants him to do. The person he's enslaved to is what he responds to. That's what I want more than ever. And so do you. And so do you. I was praying today, just in the back of my yard. I had to call one of the elders of the church, because when I get something new, I understand James 3:1, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Meaning I'm a teacher, so I'm going to be held to a higher accountability by what I teach. So I know Pastor Blanc's gone. I didn't want to bother him in Dayton, so I called one of the elders in the church to run this thought by him. And I called another person too that's not part of this church, but they're very mature in the word. And this thought, it just captured me. Because more than anything, he's been after me. I'm keeping my mouth shut, Ralph, about opinions, about people. Just completely zero tolerance. Homer, be quiet. No opinions, just the word. Let the word be, the Bible be, let it be the sword that you fall upon. Let the word of God be the mountain that you die on. And he's been dealing with me about stuff that I say, though it's gotten so much better throughout the years, but there's still stuff that need not be said. And I even go to bed at night talking to myself, saying, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. I'm in my dreams talking to myself, don't say it. And I've gone through these scriptures so much that they're alive in me, man. Praying the Holy Ghost, praying without ceasing, that you can feel this working in me. And the day I was in the back of my yard on Malanai, just praying in the spirit, going through the scriptures a little bit. And I stopped. Because I don't think the majority of the body of Christ. Now, this is an opinion. Now, I'm going to give an opinion. I can't prove this. But the fact that we got 15 people here in church, it might validate it a little bit. Or 15, I don't know how many we got tonight. And I was praying. And I'm not going to tell you that I heard God's voice. But something rose up inside of my spirit. And it was pretty awesome. It was simplistic. But when I called the elder that I called today, one of the elders of our church, I said, I want you to judge this. I want you to judge this. How many of you know when you have something, call somebody that's mature in the faith. Don't just call anybody. Call somebody that's mature in the faith. So I call somebody mature in the faith. Said, I want you to judge this thought. I call two people. One other person that's mature in the faith that's not part of this church, but he's very, very mature. And I was in the back praying. And there's anything I want in this world, man. I want to walk like Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus was a doulos, a G1210? In his humanity, he was subject to the will of the Father. And I was in the back of my lanai praying today. And another disclaimer, I'm not talking to the world. I'm not talking to non-Christians right now. People may say, well, he almost judging us. No, I'm not judging the non-Christian. The church cannot judge the non-Christian. But the church can what? judge the church. We can't judge an unbeliever. That's not biblical. But we can judge each other in the church. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I think. So get over yourself. Don't judge me. No, that's not biblical, buddy. You're taking scripture out of context. So I was there in the back, and I heard this, Ralph. It was pretty amazing. It was a jaw dropper to me because I never really seen it like this. Praying in the Holy Ghost, and it wasn't an audible voice. It was like an unction inside of me, or a stirring, or a remembrance, or a knowing. I don't know what it was. I know it was pretty powerful because it did something to me. And I was thinking about Luke 18, where the publican said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." That's what he said. Lord, they said he beat his breast. He couldn't even look up to heaven. And said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And I was thinking, the publican, the tax collector said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And I meditated that thought. I meditated that thought. And I meditated that thought, Barbara. I meditated that thought, Ralph. And something rose up in me. I said, "Lord, this tax collector wanted mercy. He said, I am a sinner, Lord. Have mercy on me." And I'll be, man. I said, "Lord, I know about that we're being gotten by an abundant mercy. I understand that. But do you know that me and you are born again by an abundant mercy?" Amen. Listen to this now. The elder that I talked to said, "Wow, that's pretty." He said, "I never thought about it like this." And I said, "You know what that mercy was, Ralph? The mercy that he showed me, the abundant mercy that God showed me, get this now, was that God Almighty showed no mercy on his son." Let that sink in. The mercy he showed me was that he showed no mercy to his son on the scourging post, on the cross, and in the pits of Sheol. That, my friends, is mercy I received, that no mercy was shown upon his son. You think next time you decide to walk in offense, next time you decide to gossip or say something with malice in it, remember, the mercy that was shown to you was that no mercy was shown to Jesus. All of my iniquity was laid on the Lamb of God. I was freely born again by nothing that I did, but on everything that he did. Almighty God showed no mercy on Jesus the Christ. That's the mercy that I received. The mercy that I received is that no mercy was shown on him. You don't think we owe him to be a doulos in the spirit? You don't think it's worth us dying every single day because the mercy shown to me was that no mercy was shown to a precious Lamb of God, slaughtered, disfigured, scourged, crucified, separated from his father, sent to Sheol, all that should have been me. So the mercy shown to me was that no mercy was shown to him. That in itself edified me to keep this mouth shut, man. Not only am I content with keeping my mouth shut, I'm going after the part of me that wants to respond. That's mortification, man. That's what praying and fasting does. I'm like you. I do not want to be a regular Christian. I want to be a doulos, one that sees and has an image completely of what his Savior did for him. I refuse to be a carnal Christian. I refuse to. I'd rather die. Jesus is the perfect prototype that we live by. Amen. So the mercy shown to you, was it no mercy, was shown to him. You got to let that sink in. All for us. I say let's be a G1210, a person that voluntarily surrenders to his will. Lord, I want to be in full subjection to your will. Because I love you, Lord, and I want to be like you. That is what we're after, my friends. We don't own that. That ought to be our heart's cry. That should be our payment to him. Because he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And he gave that ransom for many because no mercy was laid on him. You think twice before you talk about somebody. You think twice before you say something about somebody to your wife or to your husband or to a friend. When you laugh at somebody else's expense because you were begotten by an abundant mercy man. If you, the mercy he showed you was that he had no mercy on him, remember, it was all done for the person that you're talking about. And let me tell you something about that. I said this Sunday about a couple that never came to church when I taught the word of God. They never came, and they would always come the service afterwards and come to me and say, oh, well, we didn't come to church because you preached, but we just had something to do. That's exactly why they didn't come to church. They didn't want to hear me. That's fine. But you know what? They didn't hear me, and they left the church. You know why they left the church? Because sound doctrine ran them away. Because they had ought towards somebody. Watch out for that ought inside of you. Let it go, man. They had ought. And sound doctrine from Pastor Bronk ran them off of this church. They couldn't handle sound doctrine from Pastor Bronk. Not from me, because they didn't hear me, but they heard him and still left the church. Because they had ought and they were despising the brother. And if you don't think that a Christian can despise, you're wrong. You know nothing about James chapter 2. The word despise means to disdain, to scorn, to shame. Can you prove it? Yeah, I can prove it. Yes, I can. Has not God chosen the, James 2, has God not chosen the poor? I'm talking to Christians now. We got to watch that we despise nobody. We don't have the right to say anything about anybody. He's talking to Christians. In James chapter 2, has God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? And heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to them that love him. But you have despised the poor. Listen to what he said now. Talking to Christians. If you don't think you can despise somebody as a Christian, you're wrong and you're an heir of the scripture. James, the Lord's brother, said, has God not chosen the poor of this world, us, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom of God? But you have despised the poor. Listen to what he said. Do not rich men oppress you? Do not they draw ye before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme the worthy name by the which you are called? If you fulfill royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said to a Christian that's despising a brother. Listen carefully. Listen to what he said. I'm talking about the first inkling of a comment. The first inkling of a comment. Listen to what he said. He said, "Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith? He called us to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those that love him." But contrasting you being rich in faith, but family prayer, sin, I'm just saying that as a name, but you have despised the poor. Listen to what he said. You have disdained, you have scorned the poor. Listen to what he said carefully. Now he's getting on to somebody that's despising a brother. He's getting on to them. He's saying, do not the rich man, listen to me. Who does it sound like Jesus is talking about? Do not the rich man what? Let me read it to you again, but I didn't tell you where to turn to. Has God not chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which is promised to them that love him? But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you? Listen, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? Who do you think he's referencing there? Think about it. Repeat it to you again. Do not rich, listen to me, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Do not rich men oppress you? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? Do not they draw you before the judgment seat? Who was putting people before the judgment seat? Who? Who's that? The Pharisees. He said, listen to me again. You got to grasp this. You got to understand it. Barry said the other day, there are Christian Pharisees out there. Listen to this. Listen to what he said. He said, you're called to be rich in faith, but you've despised the poor. Here comes a rebuke. Do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called? If you fulfill royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. He's saying you are a born again believer. But when you as a Christian despise someone, you're like a Pharisee. You're acting like a Pharisee or a Judaizer that has no reverence for God and despises people. And there's danger, my friends, when you despise somebody. Because a little bit farther down in James 2, it says, so speak ye in context to what I just quoted, in context to it. Following it. And for the man that's despising somebody, for the Christian that's despising somebody, he's saying, rich men, the Pharisees, the Judaizers, they're the rich men. They're the ones that blaspheme that worthy name by the which you are called. They're the ones that drop you before judgment seats. And he's comparing your attitude to them. What are you doing when you judge and despise somebody? Help me. What do we do when we despise somebody? If the Pharisees disdained God and they despise people because they were always judging people, and he's getting on to us saying, you're like the Pharisees and the Judaizers that act like they know God, but they hate God. They despise people. They spend their whole life judging people. You're despising, doing the same exact thing. You better stop. You better stop. Why? Because he said in adding to that Bible verse that I just quoted to you, he said, so speak ye and so do. Listen to what he said. And speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. He's still in context of what I said earlier. Rich people despise people. They draw you before the judgment seats. They blaspheme that worthy name by the which you were called. But you, man, You to fulfill royal law. Don't act like a Pharisee. Don't act like a Judaizer. Why? I'll tell you why. Because if you're doing it and not repenting, he said, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he who's born again and despising. So speak ye and so do you that are despising. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment who has shown no mercy. And mercy rejoices against judgment. It is vital, my friends. It is positively, absolutely vital that we understand the mercy shown to us, man. The mercy shown to us was that no mercy was shown on him, so that me and you would never walk at aught with anyone. Not one whisper out of our mouth regarding someone in a negative sense. That is the kingdom of God. That is what we're after. We're after being a G-12-10. We got the power to not gossip, but we want to take it to the extreme, or the part of us, inside of us, that wants to gossip. We're after the eradication of that feeling. Are you with me? We're after the eradication of the feeling. That's what it's going to take to receive an absolute outpouring in this town. It's going to take me and you both completely selling out to the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are no carnal Christians that are douloses. There are no social drinkers that are douloses. There are no people that have no regard for their body, or a doulos has no rights. He surrendered all his rights and is surrendering his rights every single day to please him that ransomed him. That is a doulos. Are you with me? That's why this church is not growing, because really we're taught here how to be a doulos, a G-12-10. We voluntarily sign up to flat out sell out to his will. That's what we're after. We're saying, Lord, I want all of me subservient to your will. I enlist, Lord. I did it myself because I love you. No ought, no complaints, no whispering, just you, Jesus. Just you. That's the way our Lord lived. And he is our prototype. That's the way we are to live. If that's not your heart, then you're not a doulos. You're not a G-12-10. And that's okay. You'll still make heaven. But my God, the mercy that he showed me, Corey Beth, was that he showed Jesus no mercy. I received all the benefits of heaven because all of my punishment was laid on perfection. That is an abundant mercy. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, born again. My name is written in heaven, all because of the mercy shown to me, that his son was beaten to a pulp. That was the mercy shown to me. So for me to despise one is a complete contradiction of his mercy and grace. That is a G-12-10. That is a doulos. A doulos does not choose where he lives. His life, or her life, or their life, is surrounded completely around the will of God. I wanted to move to Texas so many times in my life. I love West Texas. It's a little town like Amagle. It has four seasons in it. It snows. I got a fall and no hurricanes. And I love it. My mom lived there. My sister lived there. Got a lot of family there, but I just could never leave. That would violate my peace. If I've been here, my mom and my sister have all died. I got to stay here and finish out my course. Because he ransomed me, man. And the mercy that he showed me was he showed his son no mercy whatsoever. He was beaten to a pulp, marred and disfigured and suffered in hell for 2 to 3 days. He ransomed me. He saved me through his blood by nothing that I did. So we cannot at all. There's a reason that the Lord has had me address these two services in a row. At all can we whisper about somebody. At all. And not only do we not want to whisper or comment or have malice in our, we're after the part of us that wants to respond. It's good not responding, but it's even better when you deal inwardly and you mortify that part of you that wants to respond. That is what we're after. Because Christianity, New Testament believing, is an affair of the heart. You could get away with living like that as an old covenant Jew. But as a new covenant believer, it's all an affair of the heart. You with me on that? In the Old Testament, you could get away with lusting, but you just couldn't touch. Amen? You could look at a woman, undress her in your mind in the Old Covenant, and it wouldn't be a sin as long as you didn't do it. You with me? Women dressed modest back then. If you lusted, you'd probably have to lust her ankles. Ooh, look at them ankles. They look so good. Because they dressed modestly. Oh, my God. Look at them ankles. Oh, my God. You get away with that in the old covenant. In the new, no, sir. It's adultery. We're after mortification of the inward lust or the inward narrative. We're here to put that to death. Because we understand that the mercy that he showed me was that he showed Jesus no mercy. Amen. You with me on that? Was that pretty simple? Real quick. You ever wonder to yourself what the foot washing service was about? I mean, in totality, what really was the foot washing service all about? Somebody give it a shot. I mean, there's probably not going to be a wrong answer. Somebody give it a shot. The foot wash, John 13. Washing of the what? Betrayal off of the feet of Judas Iscariot, correct? But it goes a little further than that. What is the baby? John what? 13 through what? 12 through 17? First one. John 12 through 17. Real quick. We're going to go through this real quick. Listen, I beg you, listen. Jesus is fixing to elaborate on what the foot washing service was. He's going to elaborate. He's going to teach him the meaning of it. He said, know ye, verse 12, right, baby? Know ye, listen to me, we're after what the foot washing service was about. We know to an extent 11 apostles denied, one betrayed. Do you see that? You see that image inside of you? 11 apostles denied him. They all denied him. But one betrayed, which was Judas Iscariot. Are you in agreement with that? Okay. This is what he said in 12. Know ye, apostles, know ye what I have done to you. Listen, you call me master and Lord. And you say, well, for so I am. Listen to what he said. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, if I then, not me, I'm not your Lord. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, Barbara, you ought to wash each other's feet. Listen carefully, you're going to like this. For I have given you, Ralph, I have given, listen to this, listen to the verbiage. I have given you, Ralph, I have given you, Rex, Marcia, Robert, I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. The servant, what do you think that word servant is in the Greek? Doulos, G1210. The servant is not greater than his Lord, either he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know, listen to this, he's teaching them about the foot washing service. How many acts were performed when he washed their feet? How many? One. But he said, listen to Corey Beth, he said, if you know these things, is things one or is it plural? Plural. But the foot washing service was one thing. He said, know ye what I have done to you? You call me master. You call me Lord, for so I am. You say, well, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have, listen to the verbiage, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. The servant, the doulos, is not greater than his Lord, nor is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Happy are ye if you know these things and do them. From washing the feet, one, to things, if you do these things, you will do well. Plural. All he did was wash their feet. One act. But he said, if you know these things and you do them, happy are ye. I'll go through this one more time. Listen carefully to the verbiage. He said, know ye what I have done unto you? You call me master and Lord, for you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Listen carefully. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. A servant is not greater than his Lord, nor he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now, the main thrust of this, he was showing them on hands. He said, guys, you're going to remember one day what Judas Iscariot did to me. You're going to remember one day, the day that you received regeneration. You're going to remember that he betrayed me. But you're also going to remember that I dipped his feet in a basin and began to wash his feet of his betrayal. Not only did I wash his feet from his betrayal, but I myself was clean, because I forgave him. So he washed all their feet to give him a hands-on parable of what he was doing. Guys, catch this, guys. I'm washing his feet. He's betraying me for 30 shekels of silver. Listen to this now. Somebody take a shot. How long do you think Jesus knew that Judas Iscariot was a betrayer? I mean, somebody give it a shot, really. It's a classroom now. What's that? From the beginning. Great answer. That's what I was looking for. But if you read John, this is validates what I'm saying about keeping our mouths shut. If you read John 13, did the apostles know who the betrayer was? Why? He never murmured. A man going to betray God in the flesh never cut him up to John, to Simon Peter. He never murmured about what this man was going to do to him. That, my friends, is a G-12-10. Amen. That, my friends, is a doulos. That, my friends, is what our Lord and Savior was and is. And if he was our Lord and he was a doulos, and if he's my Lord and he is, if I'm not a doulos, then I think I'm greater than him because he was a doulos. He was a G-12-10. Nobody knew what he was talking about because he never loved Judas Iscariot any less than he did anybody else. No one knew who he was because Jesus didn't murmur. It seemed like John was his closest disciple. Even John didn't know because Jesus didn't run his mouth. Mercy on legs. That is a doulos. He washed his feet on the day they got regenerated. They remembered, my God, it was Judas that betrayed Jesus. I remember now. Jesus washed his feet real slow. You could hear the water in the basin as it sprinkled down his toes. And Jesus wiped his toes. And he wiped them with the towel he was girded with. Jesus had, did you see his eyes when he looked at Judas Iscariot? Eyes of mercy and compassion. How he loved Judas. Now I get it. Judas betrayed him for 30 shekels of silver. But man, the Lord showed so much compassion on him. He washed the betrayal off of his feet. Not only did he wash it off of his feet, Jesus said, I'm clean, Judas. I love you, man. I love you, Judas. Only a G-12-10. Only a G-12-10 could respond like that. A servant is not greater than his Lord. He said that saying this, I'm your Lord. You're my servant. But the one that is your Lord is also servant of all. Are you with me? No one knew that Judas Iscariot was the betrayer. He washed his feet with mercy and compassion. But there was more, and I'm almost done. There was more to that foot washing service. How many of you can agree with me that if you can wash your betrayer's feet, how many of you can agree with me that if you can wash a man's feet is going to betray you for 30 shekels of silver. If you can wash his feet, if you can wash the betrayal off of his feet, and you were saying, I forgive you, man. How many of you know if you can forgive like that, that you're 100-fold? Would you say amen to that? I'm going to validate that. Not by my opinion. We got to grasp this. The mercy he showed us was that no mercy was shown towards him. He ransomed us as a doulos, a man with no rights to fulfill the word of his father. You're here and you come here. Every one of you here, from Renee, I don't know, Carl, Jacoby, Corey, Renee, Barbara, all of you are here. The word doulos resonates in you. There's something about it that you, part of you might rebel when you first hear it, but deep down inside, you're here in this church week in and week out because you know I'm telling you the truth and you want part of this truth, or else you wouldn't be here week in and week out. Rex, Marshall, Robert, you might rebel, Homer, to an extent, but deep down inside, you all want this because you know what's taught here. And you still come back. Ta, ta, ta. We come back. But the foot washing service was more than that. I can prove it. Remember the verbiage. Remember, I'm going to go through it one more time, then we're going to finish up. I could have gone more and elaborated more, but I'm not going to for time's sake. He said, know ye what, now pay attention carefully to the verbiage. Know ye what I have done unto you. You call me master and Lord, for you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you, Corey, I have given you, Delia, I have given you, Ralph, I have given you an example, a hands-on parable. I'm trying to show you something, a hands-on parable. Judas Iscariot, and they didn't even know who he was, who the betrayer was. I'm giving you a hands-on parable. I'm giving you an example that you should do, Homer, as I have done unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, what things? You only wash the feet of the disciples. There's only one thing involved, not things. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Again, singular or plural? Them, plural. But they wash the feet, one act. He said, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. That's the part that got me, Ralph, for a long time. What's the next portion, baby, the next verses, 33, what is it? John 13, 33 to 35. Remember what we're after. We're almost done, believe it or not, for real, I promise. Shout out, Corey. By the way, people, I crack on Corey because he's a very good friend of mine, and he can take it, and he cracks back after church. But there's a lot more to that foot washing service. There is and there isn't. If I can forgive like Jesus, if I can wipe the feet of a betrayer like Jesus did, that betrayed God in the flesh, in humanity, then I think that I've reached a hundredfold. Amen. Verse 33 to 35. Again, still in context. We're still teaching the foot washing service. In these last words, we're still teaching. He's elaborating what is involved in the foot washing service. There's more to washing the feet. Yes, he showed that you forgive, you wipe the betrayal of someone's feet, you don't bring it up again. It's over. This goes into the fullness of the kingdom. Verse 33, little children, listen carefully. Remember the verbiage earlier. I have given you, remember the verbiage. I have given you an example. I, Jesus, have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. You do what I've done to you. What I did to you was give you an example. The example that I did to you and gave you, you do it now. You with me? Listen to the verbiage. Verse 33. Little children. Little children. I will be with you for a while. Something like that. Be with you for a while. You shall seek me. But as I said to the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. Listen to this carefully. Listen. Listen carefully. A new commandment, A new commandment I give unto you. What did he say in the prior passage? What did he say earlier? I give to you an example that you should do as I gave unto you. He washed their feet. He said, I'm giving you an example. The same word is used here again. He said, listen carefully. Remember, listen to the verbiage. He said this regarding the foot washing service. He said, little children, I'll be with you for a while. You shall seek me and shall not find me. And as I said to the Jews, so I say unto you, a new commandment, I give unto you that ye love one another as I have loved you. Are you with me? A new commandment I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. The passage prior, I give to you. What was it on the top? An example that ye should do as I have done. Do you see a parallel between the verbiage on 33 through 35 and the verbiage early? Do you see a parallel there? Do you see it or not? I need to elaborate more. Do you see it at all? He said yes or no. He said a new commandment. He's elaborating what the foot washing service was about. He said again, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. He said the same thing in 33 through 35. Different verbiage. When you can forgive and wash betrayal off somebody's feet the way Jesus did, and we agreed that Jesus was hundredfold in all essence, in context, what was the fullness of the foot washing service regarding the passage we just quoted? What's that? Love one another. They remembered that day as he washed their feet. He said, I give you a new example, that if I have done unto you, that you also do. It's a new example. As I have done unto you, that you do to each other. In 33 to 35, a new commandment I give unto you. If you can forgive like Jesus forgave, we can keep this trap shut. We can fast and pray till we get that ugliness out of us that wants to respond. We have fulfilled what? Love. That was the foot washing service. He wiped the betrayal off of his feet. A man that betrayed Jesus for 30 shekels of silver, he wiped him clean. He reiterates in 33 to 35 a new commandment, elaborating on the foot washing service. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men, notice what he said. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Why would he use the word all if men are going to want us killed in days to come because of our faith? Why would he use the word, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples? Why would he use an all-inclusive word like the word all when we're going to be hated in days to come when this outpouring comes? Why did he say the word all? What did Judas Iscariot do to himself at the end of his life? What did he do? He committed suicide. He killed himself. What do you think he remembered before he took his life? What do you think possibly? I won't hold it as doctrine. I'm going to hold this as an opinion. What do you think he thought about his gesture, what he did before he committed suicide? What do you think went through his mind? What's that? Somewhat, or he probably thought to himself, Mr. Rex, all that man ever did was show me love. That's all he ever did. And I turned him over for 30 shekels of silver. I can't live. I can't believe that I betrayed perfection. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Jesus is not with us anymore, man. Jesus is not with us. He gave us of his spirit for people to be drawn unto us as we represent him here on earth. The only way we can represent him to the fullness is by being a G1210, a doulos. The word doulos is the Greek word for the word servant. The mercy he showed me and you was that he showed Jesus no mercy to redeem us. He was the sacrificial lamb. He was the sacrificial lamb. No pity was shown on him to redeem me and you. The foot washing service was, yes, an enhanced parable of forgiveness on how to wipe the betrayal off someone's feet. But in essence, there was more to it than that. Because if you can forgive like that, the new commandment that he told us to walk in, you have fulfilled it. Not one bit out of our mouth, man. Nothing. Because we're doulos. We are G1210s. There's not one person in here that's an ordinary Christian. Or if you are, you don't want to be an ordinary Christian, or else you wouldn't be here. If you didn't care about you wanting to better yourself, you wouldn't be here. But you are here. Strongholds and all. You're here. You know the message that's preached here, yet you come back every single week. Because you know inside of your heart there's so much more. And we're going to find it, man. We're going to find it because we were ransomed at such a high price. Through the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Did you receive a little something? We cannot. We cannot. Say a word. Say a word. We cannot give up. I'm not talking about, I'm going to give my opinions about football games. I'm going to, but when it comes to the Word of God, about politics, Republican or Democrats, our opinion means nothing. Our opinion means nothing. But what the Word of God says. Because we are G1210s. We're in training. We don't spread rumors. We don't spread stuff about stuff that we know. It's nobody's business. And I've been guilty of it. I have been guilty of it. Have any of you? I've just once, though. But we're learning, Mr. Ralph. We're learning. Let's love each other, man. Let's learn to worship week in and week out. Let's judge ourselves. Let's pray without ceasing. Let's present our bodies as living sacrifices because we realize that the mercy shown to us, Mr. Rex, was that no mercy was shown to him. You have to let that sink in. Go home tonight. Repeat it to yourself over and over again. I'm redeemed because he was beaten to a pulp and separated from his father. Amen. Buckets, please, pretty please. Hallelujah. What time is it? All right. All right. I killed you Sunday. Sorry, I know. 8:35 is a good time for Rex and Marsha to get home. They live 45 minutes away. Thank all of you, man, for coming out. I think we had a good time tonight in the Word. I think worship was good. Let's love each other, man. Let's love each other. And zero tolerance for gossip or for just zero, because we love Jesus. We love Jesus. And if we catch ourselves, Father, forgive me my sin. Cleanse me and wash me. Amen. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah. I had a good time, man. I really did. Mr. Robert of the Buckets out, buddy?
Yeah.
Okay. Father, we bless you and we thank you. We love you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for what Pastor Dave labored and taught us, Father, about the power of praying in the Spirit. As the Holy Ghost works heaven inside of us. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you for each other, Lord. We thank you that we have one, we contend for one thing in our heart. That's to be a G1210. We voluntarily sign up for this, Lord. Surrender to your will. Give us the grace, Lord, the grace to put out those things that need not be there. Give me the grace, Father, to continue eating healthier. Give me the grace, Lord, to continue exercising, Father. Give me the grace to go into you more and more and more. And the grace, Father, your strength, Lord, your strength to surrender all of my will to you, Lord. Oh, that grace, Father, I thank you so much for the offering we're about to receive, Father. We know that it's sown in good ground. I thank you for the brothers, and I love them, Lord. I love them so much. And I praise you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. See you Sunday morning. Pastor, we'll be back.